The whistle has blown, and it's time to kick it off. However, this is the intro message. Week one really starts next Sunday. So what is 40 days in the Word? That's one of the things I want to introduce you to today. 40 days in the Word. We want to be able to strive to love the Word, to learn the Word, and to live the Word. What good is it if you learn it, but you don't love it or live it? What good is if you try to live it, but you don't really love it, and you haven't really learned? We need all three of those. So that's kind of our ultimate big goal over the next several weeks. Those are our three goals. And here's what we're going to do. Here's the weekend messages. Let's go over that real quick. Next week, Stephen is going to preach on the inspiration of the Bible. Why can I trust it? And the next week will be a follow-up to that, how the Bible changes us. And Stephen, on that week, will be having a panel discussion. And he would love to hear from some of you who can say, you know, the Bible changed me. This is how the Bible changed me. And maybe relay a story or just an overall experience of how the Bible has helped change you. Week three is illumination. How do you read the Bible and see what God really wants you to see? And that's through the Holy Spirit illuminating what we read. Week four is observation. How do you study a Bible passage? And there's a lot of people, they can read a Bible passage, they don't really know how to study it and how to go deeper. So we're going to be talking about that in week four. Week five is interpretation. How do you understand the meaning of a text? That's a good question. It's a really good question. You have to do the steps before this, before you can figure out the meaning, all right? Application. How do you integrate God's Word into your life, into your work, in your family, your finances, your relationships, how you make decisions, how you overcome temptation, how you help others, and how you comfort yourself and you comfort others. Application. How do we put this into practice? So here's the way this is going to work. You're going to have 40 daily video devotionals, if you choose. You can go to, and you can write this on your program. I don't think I put it in there, did I? The website is 40ditw.com. Or you can do 40 and then spell out daysintheword.com, and it'll work there too. So if you go there and sign up, you will get an email every day for 40 days. And really, remember, this is going to start next week, okay? So you probably don't want to go in and sign up today because we still got a week, so we can everybody be on the same page if you wait till next week to go in and say sign up. And you'll get an email every day from 40 different pastors in the nation. And they're all going to be talking about different aspects of the Word of God, how to love it, live it, and how to learn it. Another thing we're going to do is 40 days of personal journaling. Now, and my best moments in my Bible studies, my devotional readings, my best moments, the times where the Word really hits me is when I'm writing. I'm journaling. I read a passage, I reflect on it, and then I start to journal. In the back of the room, back there on the table, there are our workbooks. And these are hefty workbooks. These are, how many pages is in here? It's about 200 pages. The first 100 pages include all of our daily devotionals. The last 100 pages are just helps about how to study the Bible and some extra stuff. If you want to read that, that'll be helpful. So each day we have just a one-page devotional journaling. One page per day. It's pretty simple, right? And they're going to ask you, here's a verse, they give you a key verse, and they ask you some things. What does this mean to you? What do you see here? How do you apply it? And then you have a prayer. How do you pray that out? So you're going to have 40 days of video devotionals coming to your inbox, 40 days of journaling. There are going to be 6 Sunday messages, really 7, 1 today plus 6 more. There are going to be 6 small group studies. Now, if you're not in a small group, this is the time to be in one, to join one that's already existing. Or if you say, my Wednesday nights are booked up, I can't meet on Wednesday night, well, let's start a new group when you can meet. So when you go back to the table after worship service today, Aaliyah is going to be back there handing out workbooks. And she has a little sheet. And on that, I instructed her, there's a column that says date and time. So if you can't meet on Wednesday, when can you meet? Give us some days and times so we can help you. This is going to be really important. This is kind of the heart of this whole thing, 40 Days in the Word, is what's going to happen in our small groups. And these are going to be DVD-based lessons. So our leaders, all you have to do is push play. And then in your book, there'll be some follow-up stuff that you can go through as a group from that lesson. Cool? So it's going to be very important. And we're going to memorize 6 Bible verses along the way. 1 Bible verse a week. I bet we could do that, can't we? 1 Bible verse a week. And I'll tell you something about in a minute, something we're going to help you with that memorization. You know, Jesus talks about in a parable on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about 2 men, a foolish man and the wise man. You know the song? The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down, and the foolish man's house went splat, right? The wise man built his house on the Lord Jesus Christ. He built his house on the rock. When the storms came, the house stood firm. And that there's a little song that the kids sing, but that's the essence of what Jesus' parable is all about. Now, what is the rock? What is the foundation on which they built? Here's how Jesus followed up that parable. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rock is the word of Jesus. That's the rock. If you want to stand firm when the storms come against you, you want your house to be firm, you need to be standing on the rock, not shifting sand. And the word of Jesus is the rock, according to Jesus himself right here. Right? Everyone who hears these words of mine, that's not enough just to hear them, and puts them into practice, they are building their house on a solid foundation. How do I do that? How do I build my house on the Word, on the solid foundation of the Word? How do I withstand relationship storms and financial storms, storms at work and storms at school, my health storms? That's one thing we're going to talk about today. How do we plant ourselves on the solid rock? Here's the first point here. I build my life on the Bible, on the Word of God, when I receive it. When I receive it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from what? Hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. So we receive it. We have to receive it. That's the beginning point. We have to receive the Word of Christ. All right? And here's a couple more verses. James, we're going to stay mainly in James, but there's some other peripheral verses that we're going to hit today. James 1:19-21 says, everyone should be what? Quick to? Slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's look at this verse right here. Accept the word. That word accept in the Greek is really a hospitality term. And it means to receive a stranger into your home. To receive a stranger. To welcome the word. To say to the word of God, come on into my house. It's an attitude of acceptance. I am open. My heart is open to the word of God. My brain is open to the word of God. Word of God, come in. It's a heart of acceptance. How do you receive it? You have to have this heart of reception, this heart of hospitality that says, come on in. And notice what it says there. It says, humbly accept the word planted in you. Now, a lot of times in the New Testament, the gospel is compared to a seed. You know, there's the parable of the sower, right? The 4 soils. And the guy goes out and he's sowing seed, and there's 4 kinds of soils. And some soil, the thorns grow up and choke it. One soil, it never takes root at all, right? It takes root and it gets blown away. One doesn't do anything. And another one produces crop, 100-fold crop. So the difference is not in the seed. The difference is in the soil. I have a garden. Well, it's been dormant ever since Liz was pregnant. But there's a garden plot in my yard. And hopefully soon I'll get back to that. But you know what? I didn't just plant seed in the grass. I had to prepare the soil, right? Because my soil is all, I don't know about your soil, my soil is clay. It is hard clay. I had to bring in some sand. I had to bring in some manure and some compost and till it up. And I compost my eggs, my eggshells, you know, and all the vegetable stuff, raw stuff. And I save all that. Coffee grounds, I put it in my garden and I till it in. Why? Because for the seed to take root and grow, the soil must be prepared. The soil must be ready. And this is the same thing for the gospel, for the Word of God. For the Word of God to take root in your life, then you need to have an attitude of acceptance, to accept the seed that is being planted in you. How does that seed get planted? Well, that's one of the things we're going to talk about. How does the seed get planted? It gets planted when you read the Word. It gets planted when you hear the messages, whether it's me, whether it's on the radio, whether it's just good advice from a Christian friend. We receive it. We're open to it. And that's the first thing we got to do is to open up our mind and be ready to receive it. Two people come here on Sunday morning. One walks away and says, "Man, I was so blessed. God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart through the songs. He spoke to my heart in the class I went to, through the sermon. I mean, wow." And another person says, "Really? I didn't get anything out of it." I think a lot of times that's because of the soil preparation or lack of soil preparation. If your Sunday morning is all, and I mean, let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to get here on time, isn't it? And you're rushing around and you're fighting with your spouse or your kids and you're yelling and you're trying to get everybody out the door, and then you rush and you're late and you can't find a parking place and it's raining. Those things are Satan's way of closing your heart down and closing your mind down so that you do not have an attitude of hospitality, of acceptance. So we want to receive the Word. How do we receive the Word? Here's a couple of things we can look at. For good reception, in order to receive the Word, I need to be quiet. And the verse we just read in James 19, he says, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." Now, I have never, honestly, the things I'm gonna lay out here. By the way, this sermon is not original to me. I am borrowing it from Rick Warren. He's the one who put this workbook together and this whole campaign together. This is basically his sermon with a little Barry tweaks into it. Okay, I just want to get that disclaimer out there. But as I'm reading the sermon, I've never thought of these phrases to be connected to the Word of God. But we just saw in that last, at the end of in verse 21, it is all about humbly accepting the Word planted in you, which can save you. That's what this verse is really about. I never put those things together. So to receive the Word of God, I need to be quiet. When I'm talking, I'm not listening. If I come to the Word of God, and I've got so much stuff going on around me, and I have ADD, so this speaks to me. I can't concentrate. I can't get anything out of the Word. My heart cannot receive it. If there's noise, if there's busyness all around me, and if my mind is not quiet, I gotta get alone, and I gotta be quiet before the Lord. I gotta be slow to speak and quick to listen. For good reception, to receive the Word, I need to be calm. Again, I thought this verse in James 1 was really about not being angry, and we've all used that verse, right? Some of you have a problem with anger, right? Yeah. Some of us have a problem with anger. And we have read these verses over and over. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What makes us angry that gets in the way of receiving the Word? Our souls can be agitated and angry. Maybe we're angry at a person. Maybe we're angry at ourselves. Maybe you're angry at God. All that anger is going to get in the way of you being able to receive. When you're emotionally upset, you're defensive. I am. When I'm emotionally upset, I'm upset. I am defensive. Whether it's you coming to me, my wife coming to me, I'm defensive. I put up my defenses and I don't hear. I don't accept the Word that's coming to me. But when I'm emotionally relaxed, when I'm calm, the attitude of receptiveness increases. And I'm more open to what the Word, what God wants to speak to me through the Bible and through you. A lot of times we approach our Bible reading like this. Okay, I'm getting ready, brush my teeth, got my coffee. Okay, Lord, I got to be out of the house in my car in 10 minutes. So you need to speak to me quickly. And we open our Bible and we expect God to answer, show us something. Well, that's not being calm. We need to be calm. We need to give God some space. We need to find some time to be calm. For good reception, I need to be clean. It says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. When I'm in the garden and I'm tilling and I'm working in the yard and that sort of thing, I tend to get pretty dirty. And I have learned to go into the garage and strip down before I go into the house. Something in my house taught me that. Somebody in my house taught me that. I get filthy working in the yard. Don't bring that into the house. Same thing when it comes to our receptiveness to the Word. There's some moral filth, some evil that we need to take. We need to get that stinky, trashy stuff out of here. Filth. The Greek there, if you go all the way back to the origins of the word, here's what William Barclay said about it. There's an interesting connecting of this word and the derivative, and it's used in a medical sense. It means wax in the ear. It's just possible that it retains its meaning here, and that James is telling his readers to get rid of everything which would stop up their ears to the true word of God. When wax gathers in the ear, it can make a man deaf. And a man's sins can make him deaf to God. From William Barclay. We can't hear God. We can't be receptive of the Word of God if we've got moral filth in our life. If there's sin in our life. If there's evil in our life. How do we get rid of it? How do we get clean? Confession. Before we approach the Word of God, we need to spend some time in confession. And you know what confession means? It just means to agree with God. That's all it means. God, you're right. I did this. I'm wrong. God, you're right. I'm sorry. That's what confession is. That's how we take the trash out. That's how we get the earwax out of our ears so we can really hear. And for good reception, I need to be humble. It says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. When I approach the Word here, and if you have a message for me, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to ask why. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to make excuses. You're the boss, not me. So we need to approach the Word with a humble attitude. Now, a lot of people approach the Word with a proud attitude, and they're going to prove it wrong. I've heard a lot of people say, I started reading the Bible so I could prove it wrong. And I'm looking for contradictions. I'm looking for flaws. I'm looking for things that don't line up, that don't make sense. That's not the best way to approach the Word of God. That's a defensive way to approach. If you're really interested in following God and getting to know more about God, we need to be humble in our approach to the Word. Now, God will use the other approach. There's lots of stories about atheist agnostics who approach the Bible to prove it wrong, and God still worked through that, and the Spirit worked through that still to change their heart, to make them more accepting and more humble. So, there are four spiritual hearing aids. I need to be quiet, I need to be calm, I need to be clean, and I need to be humble. Those are the four spiritual hearing aids so we can receive the Word. Number two, in order to build my life on the Word of God, I need to read it and reflect on it. Read it and reflect on it. We're going to continue in the book of James chapter 1. He continues and he says, do not merely what? Listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. There are five things I want us to notice here. We're going to talk about these. First one is the one we just talked about a minute ago, is listen, right? We want to listen to the Word of God. We got to hear it. The second thing is we need to look intently into the Bible. That's reading the Bible. Next is we need to continue, right? He says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. So we got listening to it. We got looking intently, which is reading it. We got continuing to do this, which is remembering the word. Not forgetting is remembering. Continuing is reviewing. And just doing it is responding to the Bible. Let's look at the first one about looking intently. When we look into a mirror, and I bet everybody here today looked in the mirror before you left the house, or maybe you looked in your rearview mirror to check yourself out on your way here, or right when you parked the car. There are two ways to look in a mirror. We can glance at a mirror, or we can gaze into a mirror. And the Word of God is like a mirror. If we glance at ourselves, and we can easily forget the flaws that we see, we forget. And if we just glance at the Word of God, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget what God has for you if you just glance at it. But if you look intently at it, if you gaze into it, guess what you see? You see a reflection of yourself that is a reflection of your true self. The Bible is a mirror. When we hold it up, we can see ourselves for real when we gaze into that mirror. Everyone who looks in a mirror and glances at it and continues throughout their day just forgets it. We don't want to forget it. We want to continue doing what the Word says and not forgetting. We got to look intently into it. And one of the ways we're going to help you with that during the 40 days of the Word is we're going to encourage you to find a systematic way to read the Bible, a Bible reading plan. Now, there are tons of Bible reading plans out there. I use the one-year Bible by F. Lagard Smith, and everything's laid out chronologically. They move the scriptures around to make it a chronological story. That's what I use right now. But, I mean, oh my goodness, on your phone, the YouVersion application has so many Bible reading plans, it's crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous how many options there are for us. Not to mention others that are going to be in the workbooks that we're going to be looking at. So we got to have a Bible reading plan to really dig down and study the Word, read the Word on a regular basis. The third thing, in order to build my life on the Bible, I need to research it. I need to read it and reflect on it. I need to receive it, and I need to research it. Here's a verse from Acts. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the message. There's that first point, right? We have to receive the message. Have an attitude of hospitality. Be open to receiving the Word of God. And the Berean Jews did this. They were more noble because they received the message with great eagerness. And they examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said, if what Paul said was true. Never, ever take what I say up here as the gospel truth. I could be wrong. We all need to double check our teachers and our pastors, our ministers. Is that really in the Bible? Is that the right interpretation? We need to learn how to do that. You need to build your faith on the solid rock of the Word. Hearing the message is part of it, but we gotta examine the scriptures for ourselves. Just hearing is not enough. So this word examine in the Greek means to search, to investigate, to go deep into it. Not just reading it, but to go deep into it. And you know how I think we best go deeply into it? It is personal study, but it's also discussing it. I grow more spiritually when I come to my group I've read the scriptures, and I come to my group and I listen to others and we talk about what the scripture means. That strengthens me. That grows me. I bet the Berean Jews, as they searched the scriptures daily, I bet they were also talking to each other about it. You know, Paul said, but here's what it says in Isaiah, right? So they searched. And I think they talked about it. They discussed it. And that's what we're going to be doing in our groups. So make sure, I'm going to just keep on plugging our groups. Make sure you get in a group. Make sure you join a new group. Number four, to build my life on the Bible, I got to review it and remember it. So remember in James, the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed and what he does. To continue means I got to review it. I got to continually ponder over it and think about it, to reflect on it. So we got reviewing when we continue to reflect on the scriptures. And then we have not forgetting, which is really memorizing. We need to memorize. I need to remember it. I need to review it, and I need to remember it. That's point number four. I review it, and I remember it. It's hard to remember something that you don't review. If you don't review it, you forget it. And how are you going to remember it? One way is by reviewing it. And it's important to memorize Scripture. Why is it important to memorize Scripture? It's one of the greatest habits that can help grow you spiritually. We must get the Word into our hearts and minds in order to be more like Jesus, in order to grow spiritually. You have to get the Word inside. Why memorize it? Because you don't always have a Bible handy when you need it. And even if you do have a Bible handy, you're not sure where to turn. When temptation comes your way, when hurt comes your way, when you need to be consoled and comforted, if you have Scripture hidden in your heart, it's accessible immediately. And you can review it in your mind no matter where you are. You've read it, you've researched it, you're driving down the road, you can review it as you're driving down the road. You can review it when you lay down your head like on the bed and you review the Word of God. And as you review it and you memorize it, it becomes part of who you are. Now, we're going to help you because a lot of us say, in fact, I have a terrible memory. Terrible. I can't count how many times somebody says, hey, do you remember when? I'm like, no. And last night at dinner, Stephanie Mullins was reminding me, do you remember that time when you had to get up at 4 in the morning and take us to the airport? I don't remember that. I don't remember it. Probably because I was asleep. And she reminded me of the story. I have a terrible memory. I've always struggled with memorizing things. When I was a music major and I was performing on stage, you got to memorize your lines. You got to memorize the music and the dialogue. I had a terrible time. One of my recurring nightmares is I'm up on stage performing in a musical and I can't remember my lines. I can't remember how the song goes. I promise you, I have woken up in sweats over this. Sweating. Not so much as I used to, but when I was really in it, it was hard. It was difficult. Here's the thing about memorizing. The more you do it, the better you get at it. So we're going to give you an easy first step way to memorize 6 verses in 6 weeks. On the table back there, there are workbooks, but there's also a keychain. And now your keychains are not going to have anything on them yet. Okay? But each week, we're going to give you a new verse to put on your keychain. Week 1 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. We can memorize that, can't we? Yeah?
Yes.
If it's on your keychain in your pocket, it's easy to pull it out and go, oh yeah, okay. And 6 little scriptures like that all have to do with the Word of God and the importance of learning and reading and getting the Word in us. So these are going to be available back there on the table today when you go back there and get your workbook. Memorizing the Word is so important. The Bible's term for remembering and reviewing is meditation. Not the sit in a lotus position and going home, and trying to get to nirvana by emptying yourself. That's not the kind of meditation we're talking about. We're talking about just reviewing and remembering the Word of God, digesting the Word of God continually. And Joshua helps us with this. He says, do not let this book of the law, that's the Word of God, do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And here's another reason why to memorize. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That sounds like a promise to me, that if we meditate on the Word of God day and night, God will make us prosperous and successful. I didn't say it. That's God talking. And I don't believe in a prosperity gospel, you know, where you give and God's going to automatically, it's a guarantee He's going to give you. I don't believe in a prosperity gospel. But it's right there. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's a good reason to memorize the Word, isn't it? To meditate on it, to review it, and remember it. 5th thing. I build my life on the Bible when I respond to it. When I respond to it. Going back to James again, he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You haven't learned it until you do it. You haven't learned it. You haven't heard it until you do it. Do your kids ever do this? I'm sure Emma will never do this. Take the trash out, please. A few minutes go by. I need you to take the trash out. Okay, I heard you. Did you really? If you heard me, you need to get off your little rear end and take the trash out. Delayed obedience is not obedience. Would you say that with me? Delayed obedience is not obedience. So when we hear the word, we must do what it says. We gotta put it into practice. And this is another way to get the word in us. When we live out the word, it gets deeper into us also. I try to make my sermons very practical. And I try always to give you something to do, an assignment. Because if you don't do it, you haven't really heard it. You haven't really learned it. Your assignment today is to get in a group, whether it's a new group or an existing group. Your assignment today is grab a workbook and a keychain. Those are your action steps I want you to do today. Let's go back to the parable we started with. Parable of the wise man, the foolish man. They built two houses, one on shifting sand, one on the solid rock. And here's what Jesus says again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Let's try it again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and? That's responding to the word. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I don't know what kind of storms are coming your way in 2017, but they're coming. They are coming. And we all need to be standing on the firm foundation of the Word of God. But if you hear the Word and you don't put them into practice, the storms, our house is going to come crashing down, just like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. How do we do it? We have to receive the Word of God with an open heart to hear it and receive it. We have to read it for ourselves. We need to research it and dig a little bit deeper than just glancing at it. We got to remember and review it. Best way to do that is through memorization and meditation. And we got to respond to it. Those are five practical steps that everybody in this room can take to get the word into your heart, into your life. I'm excited about the next 40 days. I've heard a couple of you say you're excited about the next 40 days. Make sure you get a book today and make sure you see Aaliyah about that sign-up sheet if you're not in a group. We want to get you in a group. Even if the group is me and you and one other person, that's a group. I'm excited. I think the Lord is going to do some things in this next 40 days in our lives that we can't imagine. I really believe that. I really believe that if we apply ourselves and we take this information in and we put it into practice, our lives are going to be different. And I think if our lives are different, I know this, our church will be different. And if our church is different, then our community is going to be different. It starts with the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word, your sweet Word that is sweeter than honey on a honeycomb. And Lord, we want to digest your Word. We want to get it in us. And we need your help, Lord, because we can come up with tons of excuses of why we don't have time. While we're too tired, and we need you, Lord, to help us readjust our priorities so that we can spend time in your word and let it change us. We want to love the word and teach us, Lord, to love it. Because some of us don't really love it. Not really. We don't have a love affair with it. Help us to fall in love with the word. Help us to learn the word so that we can live it out. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that if we hide these things in our heart, we meditate on them day and night, you will make us prosperous and successful. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know what that looks like for each individual person. But I know that's your promise, and we claim it today. And we pray this through Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to be in the back. If anybody would like to come and discuss anything or have a prayer, the shepherds and I will be glad to pray over you. Let's stand together as Ethan leads this next song.